Turn to 3 John, verses 2 through 4. One of the things that was on my heart, because we have been talking about this new season, and you know, I know that we just threw a little bit about prosperity. You know, in other words, we talked a little bit about the key of knowledge and how knowledge opens, is a key that opens treasures. And where God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, right? You know, and we know that in these latter days, there's going to be perilous times. There's a lot of deception. People are actually falling left and right. They're falling left and right by the sway of the devil. They're falling from the faith, the Bible says, by deceiving, seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Well, these are all a part of the plan of Satan, is to sway people by promoting self. Amen? And we have a wonderful teaching on self. Praise God. But tonight, what's on my heart, as we continue to go forth in this new season with power, we talked about the tabernacle. And that's about getting God's power and what God is doing. Because God's glory is His power. Amen? Your power is God's glory. That's when people got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Actually, the glory of God came upon them and they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that's when power was birthed. But I want to share with you also what this power is, prosperity. And there's got to be something there must be. There must be a reality of prosperity. There has got to be a reality. We've got to be able to change our mindsets. We've got to be living as royalty. We must have an attitude of royalty. We must know who we are, and there must be a tangible reality of prosperity in our life, knowing that it's ours. Does everybody understand that? You know, you can talk about it, and many people think it's for somebody else. Amen? Oh man, did you ever hear of anybody, I mean, just blows my mind. First, let's go to the scripture. I'm going to tell you something here in a minute. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 3 John. Glory. In verse 2. Would you read it with me? Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all... Oh man, come on, say all things. All things. And be in what? Health. Just as your soul prospers. Wow. So here, God's... I mean, you know, come on. Here's a brother that had a visitation from the Lord who wrote the book of Revelation. He's saying, listen, this is what God is telling me to tell you. That He wants you to prosper in all things. Not just a couple things. And not according to the standards of the world, but to prosper according to the standards of God. And he says something. He says, listen, man, I want you to be in good health. I want you to prosper in all things as your soul prospers. Now, we talked about your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So what we want to be able to do is take dominion over our mind, our will, and our emotions according to the standards of carnality and bring them in subjection and submission under the standards of the Spirit. Is everybody with me? Why? Because there are two laws. I'm going to talk about that in a second. There is the law of the Spirit and there is the law of sin. Hello? There are two laws. Oh, to God be the glory. And Jesus says, listen, man, my words are spirit. This law of the Spirit supersedes the law of the natural arena, which is associated with sin. Now, he says, listen, I want you to prosper in all things. And then in verse 3 he says, for I rejoice greatly when brethren come and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. Why was he joyful that they were walking in the truth? You know why? Because they were prospering. Walking in the truth, you'll have prosperity follow you. The Bible says something very powerful. It says the love of money is the root of evil. Not to have money. Hello? The love of money is the root of evil. People chase money. Let me tell you, when you get right with God and you understand these concepts tonight, money will chase you. hallelujah. Everybody's going, yeah, right. It's coming down the street now. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Walking in the truth is walking in prosperity. Amen? Prosper in all things, health, spiritual things, and financial things. Or physical things. Now, financial things is not just material. Hello? Financial is a representation of not just money. It's things of owed. It's things that are used for bargaining with. Hello? Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Those are things that are used, aren't they? That's a part of financial. People pay great things for knowledge. People pay great... Look at how many people go to financial counselors and pay them. You know how many people go to carnal drug programs and pay them big bucks and never change? They go to these big places where they have all these wonderful hot tubs and all of these natural herbs. And, you know, and it costs $30,000 for 30 days. And they leave there real clean. They actually sparkle. And they smell wonderful. But inside, they're wretched. They stinketh. And they fall 2 days later. Then they go from Betty Ford to who knows the other place. Yes, I've been in bed. I've been in the best. That's wonderful. Now get in the truth. Oh, hallelujah. So people pay great things. Financial. God wants us to prosper spiritually and physically and financially. Amen? The soul must prosper. In other words, to take dominion over the carnal thoughts and reasonings, the carnal emotions and feelings, and to disqualify carnal decisions. Come on, get it with me. The soul must prosper. How does that? It must take dominion over your carnal thoughts and reasonings. Must take control and dominion over carnal emotions and feelings. What for what? To disqualify carnal decisions producing death to the will of God in your life. Hello? Has everybody got it? If you missed it, get the tape. Listen. God wants to promote His will. Amen? In our lives. And the will of God is to be fruitful and multiply, which is to be prosperous. He did that when He let, in fact, when He created Adam and Eve, He said, go be fruitful and multiply, didn't He? And then when they blew it, of course, which put in motion the law of sin and death. So He killed an animal before they left the garden, and He clothed them with it to restore to be fruitful and multiply. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Life for life. Now, what is the purpose for prosperity? Couple things that we've got to really get in our spirit. The first thing, go to Psalm 35. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Psalm 35. In verse 27. Hallelujah. Verse 27. Read it with me. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. So God has pleasure in your prosperity. For my tongue shall speak of your righteousness, and of your praise all the day long. Now, we first must get something in our spirit. It is God's will that you prosper. It is God's perfect will that you prosper. One of the things, like I said, we must do is get a new mindset. We must believe His Word. If His Word says that it's His will for you to prosper, then you must believe it. Amen? And you must begin to act on it. Now, I have heard some foolish things. I mean, I saw this one guy one time, this religious individual that was being interviewed. It's amazing how they interview, you know, these news media people interview, oh yes, this is the church, whatever. Here's the man of the body of Christ, and he's some ding-dong that is so full of religion. I mean, you can see the demons coming out of his tongue. It's ridiculous. He talks and he's got a split tongue, you know. You can see the tail waggling in the back. And they're calling this guy the Sioux. Here it is. He's the man of the church. Let's interview him. I'm like, dear God. And then they get this information from this ding-dong that supposedly is a man of God. You know, and then it goes from there. And the world looks at this ding-dong. And they think this is how the church is. Man, every time I see that, I mean, it seems almost every single time they do a news interview, you know, when there's something going on in the media or something going on in the government, and they bring the man of God, Jesse Jackson. Oh, dear God. Oh, he's going over there to talk about and try to bring peace. This guy's so far out in left field, it's ridiculous. That man has been bound in fornication, a lie. And I ain't afraid to talk about it because God says expose it. He's got followers that follow into fornication with him. And he thinks he's somebody. And the world thinks this man represents the church. Well, he don't represent the church I belong to. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, and I finally nabbed him on some of the children that he had on the side. And some of the women and hallelujah. I ain't going there tonight. But anyways, it's just amazing. I saw this interview one time, and they were interviewing this man, and supposedly a man of God. And he says, I've taken a vow of poverty. I almost fell off my chair. I said, what an idiot. He just cursed himself. I want to know where there's a vow of poverty that's according to the will of God. There is no such thing as a vow of poverty. That's called false humility, boneheadedness, and plain stupid. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. I vowed poverty. I wanted to stick my hands through the TV and wring his neck. Shut up. That is not my daddy. That is not the truth. My dad did never tell me to take a vow of poverty. You know, some people who are living in poverty think it's the will of God. Well, this is what God's placed for me. It is not. Jesus said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Let me tell you something. Poverty is a curse. It's a curse. And people accept it. And it goes down the family line. And they live in this poverty mentality where if something's not giving to them, then they don't deserve anything else. Does everybody understand that? People bound by the welfare system and using the welfare system. And I'm not saying that some people need assistance in certain areas. Yes. Amen? There's nothing wrong with that. But there's an arena of the thought pattern that individuals have been born in poverty, that that's just God's will for them. Most of us, we're born with families that were poor. And they tried and tried and tried and worked hard and could never get anywhere. and didn't leave you nothing. Amen? You know why? They were cursed. Didn't matter how many hours they worked, no matter what businesses they tried, no matter what they did, it just couldn't prosper. The only thing that left some children was a life insurance policy, if they paid for it. A vow of poverty. Man, I had to turn the station because we were about to lose a TV. I was getting in the flesh. I couldn't take it. Represent my father and the word of God saying, So we need to change this mindset. God has not told anyone to be poor. Hello? Okay. Go to Ephesians 4. It's a curse! I need to break that stuff. Well, my dad lived in a cardboard box. He left me an inheritance. 3 of them. Oh, well, you're blessed. Is it waterproof? Well, no. That's why I need 3. Oh, hallelujah. Don't be offended. I'm speaking the truth. The Holy Ghost is exposing the lie and the mindsets in people's lives. And then the devil tells you something else. Let me share something with you. He tells you now you don't deserve it because of all the things you've done. He tries to convince individuals that they deserve to be impoverished. When Jesus doesn't even see it anymore because you repented. And he stands there with his hand stretched out. He says, come on, grab hold of me. I've got the riches. You know, I told you about my encounter with an angel when I was in a park. I used to go there and I bring my 46 Chrysler limo that had Jesus in gold on the sides. It was a Chrysler antique limousine, suicide doors. I used to be chauffeured in it for the wrong reasons. And when I got saved, I put Jesus in gold on both sides. So I used to chauffeur the Lord. And I used to draw a lot of attention. And I was in the park and I wanted to sell it because I needed some money for certain things and whatever. And I just didn't care anymore. And you know, I just sensed that the Lord was saying, are you willing to give that up now? You know? And I just didn't care. I said, Daddy, whatever you want to do. So I was in the park and I was talking to the Lord and you know, I was deep in the woods like, and I was talking to him and crying out to him about something. And I just said, you know, I don't know what to do. I need, $5,000 or $10,000 to go to school or do something. You know, what do you want me to do? And next thing I know, this truck driving down the road in the park. It's a public park, and I hear this backfire. You know, and I look over there, and this big dark man gets out of the car, and he starts yelling at me. I'm in the woods. He says, "Yo!" I said, yeah. I'm thinking, is that guy talking to me? He says, I want to buy your car. Thinking, how does he know I got to buy my car? And I just ignored him. I'm thinking, man, I'm delusional. And he says again, hey, I'm telling you, I'm 40, 50 feet, 100, or more than that. Probably I'm in the woods, and he sees me. He says, I want to buy your car. And I start walking towards him. And I'm looking at this guy, and he's getting bigger and bigger. And he says to me, I want to buy your car. I'm thinking, this guy's got to be drunk. As soon as I said that, I smelled booze. And I wasn't near him yet. It didn't hit me. And I got up to him. He goes, I want to buy your car. I've got all the money you need. I'm thinking, you got all the money you need. Well, where is it? You know, I thought maybe it had some wheelbarrows I didn't see. And I'm looking at this truck. Here's a guy that's telling me he's got all the money I need. I'm thinking, my God, this truck needs some repairs. And I look at it. I said, man, this thing. I'm thinking, I go, this thing needs some tires. And he looks at me and he goes, I got all the money you need. You need to make a decision. I'm getting ready to go get some tires. I'm thinking, whoa. He says, I'm willing to give you, I think he said 5,000 or something like this. He said 5,000. I said, but I need 10. I said, I got 30 grand into it. He goes, I know, but I'm willing to give you all the money. Right now I want to give you 5,000. He goes, I have all the money you need. And I started showing him the car. I said, look at this. I need. He says, I'll give you 5,000. I have all the money you need. He says, I'm going to get ready to go. I'm thinking, where's he going to eat? And he goes, I'm going to go eat. And I go, where's he going? Kentucky Fried Chicken? And he says, I'm going to Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm thinking, whoa. Now my mind's really starting to go. I'm thinking, wait a minute. Now you got to understand, I used to call the Holy Spirit Buddy. I said, Buddy, where are you? Help me. And he'd come and sit down next to me and show me things. So me and the Holy Spirit were, I used to call him Buddy. And this guy's getting ready to go. I said, listen, I have another one at the house. I said, I'll give it to you for $3,500. He goes, I'll give you $25. I said, but I need $35. He says, I know. But I have all the money you need. I'm thinking, well, if you have all the money I need, why don't you just give it to me? He says, I'm getting ready to go. And I'm thinking again, oh, those bald tires, man. He goes, I'm going to go get new tires now. I'm thinking, whoa. I said, well, listen, just give me your name. Write something down here. I pulled out this piece of paper and he writes down. And you know, and now people are coming around the car, so I'm getting distracted. And next thing I know, he takes off. He gives me the card. As soon as he takes off, everybody goes. I'm left there by myself. I mean, there must have been 15, 20 people around the car. I mean, they came out of the woods from everywhere. And now I'm just myself in this 46 Chrysler limo that has Jesus on gold on both sides. So again, I take the card and I put it in my pocket. And I get in the car and I start driving home. And I'm thinking, all of a sudden this conviction comes. Was that you, Lord? I didn't hear anything. Oh, come on. Is that you? Was I so greedy and so stupid that I missed you? I didn't trust you and you were willing to give me $5,000? And I was greedy and wanted 10? But, oh, Lord. Was that you? I didn't hear nothing. And I got out of the car. Ran into my house, picked up the phone, looked at that phone number, dialed it. Then I looked at who I was going to ask for, and his name was Buddy. Man, I wept for 3 days. And I didn't hear the voice of God for 3 days. He was trying to prosper me. He said, I have all that you need. I have all the money you need. So anyways, I ended up selling that limo for $3,500. Oh, hallelujah. The thing was cursed after that. I said, I want to get rid of that thing now. And I want to see it. I blew it. And I want to show you. I don't care. And I went out. I put the thing on the corner. I said, whatever it comes. And I sold it for $3,500. Praise God. See, He has everything for us. He didn't want me to be in poverty. He wanted to prosper me. I mean, He kept telling me, I got all the money you need. I said, whoa. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse somewhere. Verse 28, would you read it with me? Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Listen, our prosperity is a blessing to the world. Somebody with me? We must understand, if you're trying to prosper to make yourself comfortable, that's wrong. You prosper because you are come to a point where it's not about your life, but it's about other lives. That's how God prospers you. Amen? It's not about your life. It's about other lives. That's called sowing, isn't it? Now, you got to be careful because God doesn't want you to give what He's not told you to. Because He wants you to give on good ground. He doesn't want you to go out and give every drug addict money. Hello? Or every alcoholic money because He says give. That's the wrong reason. Amen? So, what's the purpose? The purpose is to fulfill the will of God, isn't it? That's the first thing. The second thing is to help those who are in need. In other words, our prosperity is a blessing to the world. Why? Go to Luke 4. Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah. I receive it. Praise God. In verse 18. Where did I get this? Okay. Yeah. Is everybody there? Read it with me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now let me share something with you. That is the third purpose, is to preach the gospel to the poor. Now listen, preaching the gospel to the poor, we know that there are those who are poor in spirit. Amen? But I'm telling you that Jesus is talking about this also is to preach in the gospel of truth to those who are poor, that they may prosper. Does everybody get it? Preaching the truth of the gospel that are poor so that they can prosper. You know, there are preachers and so forth that go to other nations, places where in the carnal mind there's no way people can prosper. Yet they do. Why? Because they know how to give. They're not looking at their life. They're looking at other lives. They're going according to the spiritual laws. Sowing and reaping. Giving. Amen? They're prospering. But what's happening is somebody is preaching to them the truth of the gospel, which is changing their decisions. Amen? And by changing their decisions, separating and disqualifying carnal decisions, coming into the spiritual decisions, you now become supernatural. Where God begins to move in areas. Preach the gospel to the world for salvation and to the poor for prosperity. Not for our convenience is prosperity, but for His will. We must take our eyes off of our life and self and put our eyes to those who are in need for other lives. Amen? Okay, go to Deuteronomy 8. There's got to be a reality of prosperity. Glory. Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Is everybody there? In verse 18, I believe it is. Would you read it with me? And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you what? Power to what? To get wealth. That He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. So it's the Lord that gives you power to get wealth. So we know God wants us to be prosperous. Doesn't He? Go to Romans 8. It's a new season. See, this is truth. You don't have to live in that curse of poverty. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Is everybody there? Verse 2, would you read it with me? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So we see that these are those two spiritual laws. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now listen, there are two functional laws, the law of sin and death, right? When this curse was put in motion by Adam's and Eve's disobedience. Is everybody with me? So poverty is a curse. It was put in motion by the disobedience of Adam and Eve in the garden. Right? Now, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ is put in motion by your faith. Hello? And that has to do with trust and obedience in Christ. Is everybody with me? If you trust and obey Christ, it means your faith is being activated. The spiritual law supersedes the physical laws in every area. Everyone say, the spiritual laws supersede the physical laws. Because the physical law was birthed by the spiritual law. Come on, I'll get it. Because the physical law was birthed by the spiritual law. Why? Because God is spirit. Amen? He took nothing and made something. He spoke it in, didn't He? He took nothing and made... Let me, you know what faith is? Holding on to nothing until it becomes something. That's faith. Come on. Faith is holding on to nothing until it becomes something. Oh, hallelujah. Remember, it was the spiritual law that birthed the physical law. So when you're walking into the spiritual law, it's going to birth nothing to become something physical. Hello. That's faith. That means you must know the Word. You must believe the Word. You must speak the Word. And you must obey the Word. Oh, hallelujah. Now, go to Luke 6. Is everybody okay? What's faith? Holding on to nothing until it becomes something. Luke 6. Praise you. And verse 38. Would you read it with me? It says what? Give, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. Ooh. You know what the Lord said to me one day? He said, Guy, don't look at what you don't have. Use up what you have. When you use up what you have, then I'll give you more. Oh, hallelujah. See, he says give. You know, most people give out of their abundance instead of giving out of their need. Hello? That's why they don't get blessed. You give out of your need instead of out of your abundance. Because now you're giving and you're holding on to nothing and waiting for it to become something. Mark 11. In verse 20. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering what Jesus said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Oh. You know, there's life and death in the power of the tongue. You know, people lose sight of that. That there is life and death. And that's why we give people deliverance prayers and tell them to speak them when they come. Man, speak these things. Don't figure it out. Don't reason. Just speak them. Why? You want to break that spirit of poverty off. You want to break all that garbage off. You speak it. It's amazing how many people, they want to reason with it. Then the devil tells him, well, that's just repetition. No, that's just an axe. Keep hitting it back until that root's severed. Oh, hallelujah. He said, and Jesus said in verse 22, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you have them. Why? You are holding on to nothing until it becomes something. Too many people run before it can be finished. I ain't ready yet. That's it. And you know what they do? They give up on it. If you let go of it, it doesn't come. It doesn't come. It's like a cloud. You hold on to it. You let go of it, it just goes. You know, what about Elijah's servant? Remember we went out there, he started praying for, he sent his servant out there about four or five times or whatever it was. He went out there, he goes, is there rain yet? Said, no. I mean, he was holding on to nothing until it became something. And the guy went out there, man, it still ain't here. Why do you keep sending me out there? Go out there again. He come back. Did you see anything? No, not yet. Go! Finally comes, he goes, I see a cloud about the size of a fist. That was it. That's it. It's going to rain. He held on to nothing until it became something. Oh. Why? Because faith puts it into motion. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9. It's a new season. Yeah. I've been singing it like crazy. Because I know it in my spirit. It's a season of power and prosperity. Glory. Matthew 9, verse 27. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy upon us. When he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? And sometimes Jesus asks you that. You believe I'm able to do this? And the person goes, Yeah, Lord, I know you can do it. Praise God, I know it. But if I don't get it now, I'm going to lose it. That ain't faith. And they said to him, Yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, let it be. Come on, say it with me. According to my faith, let it be. And their eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, See that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. He knew what they were going to do. Hallelujah. Things are birthed according to your faith. When my wife had asked me about going to some seminar, and I've shared this before, and this is after we found out some things about the seminar, that it just didn't, you know, supposedly it wasn't right and whatever and so forth. So she said, you know, this hasn't left me yet. And I said, you know, it hasn't left me. So I went to go pray. And the Lord said to me, things are done according to your faith. So I said, you know what, even if this is a bogus seminar, God will honor you according to your faith. I remember when I was only born in the Spirit, and I would tell people certain things. They'd say, man, that's faith. Well, see, I didn't know. I just thought that that's how it was. Well, somebody said to me, you know, they said, man, you know, when you pray, you make a list. I said, a list? I said, you know, Jesus said that, you know, Jesus is our example, so I pray the way he does. Jesus said, Father, I lift to you those, I pray for those you've given me. Well, when I read that, to me, that was a list. So I have this huge list in the Spirit. And I was telling this person one day, I was only a few weeks old. I said, yeah, I said, I just lift the list to him every day. What do you mean you lift it? Yeah, I say, Lord, I want to add that one and that one on the list you give me to pray for. And as you see fit, take them off. So I've got a list. But I don't speak the list. I just say, Daddy, I lift you the list you give me to pray for. Why? Because things are done according to your faith. He says, if you believe when you ask, then it shall be done unto you. I know he knows who's on that list. I forget who's on that list. So there have been people I've been praying for 13 years. List to him, I lift that list to him every single day. Lord, I give you that list you give me to pray for. Don't forget. No. Does everybody understand that? It's done according to your faith. And people are still turning their pages going, well, Joe, Mary, Lucy, this, that, whatever. I'm like, man, forget that. I ain't got all day for that. Dad, here's the list. Remember the one? Yeah. Now, I just don't throw everybody on the list. He quickens me. I'll be driving down the road and I'll see that person there. I said, Papa? That person, I don't know their name. I don't even know them. I'm driving down the road. Add them to the list. I add them to the list you give me to pray for. Does everybody understand that? Why? It's done according to my faith. I don't know that person's name. I don't even know him. I just see him. I'm just led. Man, that person. Hit list. Get him, Daddy. And then I lift that list every day. Do you understand that? I haven't got time to go through every person in my prayer time. Hello? Praise God. It's given to you according to your faith. Again, faith is grabbing hold of nothing until it becomes something. Spiritual laws are put in motion by faith. Everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. Oh, hallelujah. I love this testimony. 1 Kings 17. It's a new season. Yeah. It's a new day. Is everybody there? 1 Kings 17, studying at verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he had come to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And you got to remember there was a famine going on and things were rough then. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. There was a famine. She had nothing. This was it. She was preparing her death and her son's death. That was it. The last meal. But God sent his word to this woman. Is everybody with me? And Elijah said to her, do not fear. See? When you get down to your nothing, Jesus is up to something. Come on, everybody, say it. When I'm down to my nothing, Jesus is up to something. To God be the glory. Now, where are we? Okay. And Elijah said to her, don't fear, go and do as you have said, but now make me a small cake from it first. Now, wait a minute, she couldn't make any bread. Now he tells her to make me a cake. What was he doing? Taking nothing until it came something. She's like, wait a minute. And bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. What was he causing her to do? Amen. Walk in faith and sow first. In other words, she's like, wait a minute, I don't even have morsel, I don't even have bread. I got a little flour and a little oil, won't even make a cake. He said, go make a cake. She said, okay. Listen. What was that spiritual law we were talking about? Not for you, but for someone else in need. Do you understand? He put her into the spiritual law. He caused her to put faith in motion. What did he do? I mean, he's there. He calls her. He says, you know, well, now wait a minute. That morsel, go make me a cake first. And then make it for yourself and your son. And she obeyed him. She didn't go, wait a minute, this is impossible. I can't make a cake. I don't have enough. And then make some for me? What, are you crazy? She just obeyed him. Somebody understand it? See, when you're down to your nothing, Jesus is up to something. Oh, hallelujah. So he caused her to obey the word of God and to be concerned about somebody else's life instead of her own. Oh, to God be the glory. Then what happens? So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, or from the word of God. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. So let me tell you, for many days, what? Until it rained. I'm telling you, that flour and that oil continued to fill itself until the day it rained, which was many days. It was the supernatural law manifesting in the physical law, in the physical realm. Does everybody understand that? Oh, she was holding on to nothing until it became something. Praise God. You know, hallelujah. You ain't got to believe his word. See, she gave into good soil, didn't she? She gave out of her lack, didn't she? She put faith in motion. And it came to pass. Proverbs 23. Many people go, yeah, but. But we're not the but ministry, are we? Proverbs 23. Is everybody okay? Glory. And verse 7. Well, we can start at verse 6. It says, do not eat the bread of a miser. I always tell people a compromiser. Nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. Now listen, as a man thinks, so he is. That's why we need to get rid of this goofy thinking of false humility and poverty. Poverty is a curse. Poverty is a curse. Has everybody got it? Jesus wants you to prosper. Go to Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. The reality of prosperity. It's got to be tangible to you. There's got to be a reality in this to you. Not only does it have to be a reality and the mindset must be changed, but you must be able to put these things in motion by your faith. Listen, didn't the Bible tell us that the mountain will move, right? Didn't it say if you had the faith to see the size of a seed? Well, the seed was given to sow. Be unto you according to your faith. Galatians 3 and verse 11. Is everybody there? Good. I'll be right there. Okay, I'm there. Is everybody there? Come on, read it. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by... Oh, hallelujah. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So he's redeemed us from the curse of poverty. Has everybody got it? Having become a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone who hangs on the tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So not only did Jesus redeem everything else for us, but he's redeemed us from the curse of poverty. Go to Isaiah 48. Yes, but why am I still impoverished? Because you haven't understood the spiritual law yet. Takes faith. Takes a mindset change. Takes believing the Word of God and holding on to those things that are nothing until they become something. Amen? You know, think about it. Look at how many of you men and women have come into the discipleship house. You came in by faith. You came in and held on to nothing until it became something. You changed. Some people are holding on to nothing and letting it go. Until it becomes, because it has. See, they can't wait till it becomes something. They want to run before it becomes something. Oh, talk about missing God. See, faith is holding on to nothing until it becomes something. That's when there's change. Isaiah 48. Is everybody there? Verse 16. He says, come near to me, hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, I was there. And now the Lord God and His Spirit have sent me. Come on, read it with me. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Your descendants also will have been like the sand, and the offspring of your body like the grains of sand. His name would not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. Oh, I skipped 18. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. New Bible. Read 18, would you? Oh, that you have heeded my commandments, and that your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Notice, he's saying, listen to me. It says that Jesus teaches you how to profit. What a mentor. Why? Because he wants you to be prosperous. Spiritually and physically. Does everybody understand that? Remember, as you hold on to the nothing, waiting for the something, you're putting in motion faith, which the Spirit will birth it into the natural. Amen? Oh, glory. Now, I want to share a couple of things with you, which is important. As you begin to put this in action, there's three things that's going to happen. He will send people in your life or send you to the people that will help you prosper. Does everybody got it? He will send people in your life or you to the people that are going to help you prosper. That's why the Bible says, do not be unevenly yoked. So you need to hang around with people. Hello? They're going to assist you in prospering. And not around people that are not going to help you. That are going to come against you. Or not walk according to the will of God. You got to sever them from your life. Why? So you can prosper. Because you know what they'll do? They'll steal your blessing. Why? Because by being associated with them, tells them that you promote them. And you promote wickedness and evil. Does everybody understand that? See, and as you stand right before God, you're showing God, I'm severing this, Daddy. Why? Because I'm holding on to nothing until it becomes something. My hope is in you. My faith is in you. My trust is in you. And not in me. That's why the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. And I will be your God. Let me tell you, when He truly is your God, you have everything. Oh, Hallelujah. Again, the first thing that will happen is you begin to put these spiritual laws into effect of the difference of mindset. Amen? And holding on to the nothing till it becomes something. You're confessing the word. You're believing. You're trusting. You're not giving up. You're not quitting. You're completing something He's asked you to do. It will be birthed in the Spirit. And He will put individuals around you to help you prosper. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. The second thing, Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I got to confirm it with the Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Is everybody okay? We're almost done, so hang tough. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Glory to God. It's a new season. Yeah. And verse 9. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became what? He became poor. That you through His poverty might become rich. So any bonehead who wants to take a vow of poverty ought to be shot. You might as well send that person home. He's a disgrace to the body of Christ. Hello? Mom said to me one day, what am I going to do with all these people that are so disobedient? I said, Mom, just line them up, have them repent and shoot them and they'll go home. Make sure they receive Jesus. Of course, she knew I was only kidding. Thank God. In verse 10, and in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also must be a completion out of what you have. In other words, He's saying, complete what I've told you to do. That's how you hold on to nothing until it becomes something. You don't understand sometimes why God is asking you to do something, but you're to complete what He's told you to do. Does everybody understand that? You don't understand a certain... Listen, it isn't your responsibility to understand it all. It's your responsibility to just do it. And shut up. Amen? Just do it. Yeah, but I don't know what the purpose is. Praise God. Do you need to? The bottom line is the end result is going to, God's will is going to be done and you're going to prosper. Yes, but my emotions are, and my will is, I want to go back into the cave with the demons. I felt comfortable there. Hallelujah. I don't want a new life. He became poor so we could become rich. Amen? Oh, to God be the glory. He's saying, listen, you got to complete what I've given you to complete. Oh, hallelujah. He wants to impart. He'll put you into a place so that you can learn how to prosper. Amen? Not only will He put people around you to support you and to help you prosper, but He'll put you in a place to teach you how to prosper. That's where He says, I will cause you to walk in my statutes. I will give you a new spirit. I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new Harley. And I'll cause you to walk. I'll cause you to walk. Listen, man, I wasn't holding on to that nothing until it became something. I knew my daddy was going to send it. And he did it exceedingly abundantly. I thought I was getting a used one. I thought I was getting a used one, man. I started looking for a used one. I got rebuked. I held on to nothing until it became something. I'd see them running and down the road. I'd hear it. We'd be out there playing football. One would go by and say, soon. Soon. Didn't know how, didn't know where. But it birthed. And now it's a witness. In fact, we were at the hotel today. And I parked it out in front. The witness bike. And these two guys come out and they said, what's it worth? Who cares what it's worth? Read the message. Christ the King. What's that worth? And read the back of it. The guy went out there. I'll be back, Jesus. What's that worth? Repent, you know. I said, you guys are the managers of this place? He said, we attempt to. Then they began to tell me about the other three places they owned, this, that. So I gave him a card. Covenant Builders. He said, cool, I'll call you. I said, cool, give me your card too. I mean, you know, what was it used for? It made a connection. Held on to something. I held on to nothing until it became something. I didn't know how we were going to get 8 houses. I had no idea. I just know he said it, and we're going to still get that block. I don't know how. But I'm holding on to nothing until it becomes something. And it's becoming something bit by bit by bit. Oh, hallelujah. And there's more. You kidding? I got both hands and feet up in here holding on to nothing. I'm holding on to so much nothing, I'm not even on the ground, man. It's going to become something. And when that comes, I'm letting go of that. As it comes in, then I'm grabbing another nothing until it becomes something. Hallelujah. He'll put you in a place to support and impart to you and prepare you for your prosperity. Does everybody get it? So the two things that we, first two things we must understand is by being obedient to this, God will place people in your life or put you and place you with people that will help you prosper. Second thing is he'll put you in the place to teach you how to prosper. Why? Because changing your thought patterns by knowing the Word of God, you begin to walk in truth, and that's what brings prosperity. That's where God says, my people are destroyed for not knowing the truth and the promises of who I am. They don't even know who they are. And the third thing he will do is give you vision. Jesus said something very powerful. He says, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. He will give you vision. Go to Proverbs 29. Three things that will happen. He'll put people in your life. He'll put you in a place. And he will give you vision. Now again, you want to make sure that it's the right people. You want to make sure it's the right place. And you want to make sure it's the right vision. Hallelujah. Proverbs 29. Glory to God. You know, some people run before that vision can be manifested. And that's what the devil does. He tries to move people out of position because the vision's not been birthed yet. In Proverbs 29 and verse 18, would you read it with me? Where there's no revelation, that word revelation means prophetic vision. The people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. There's the spiritual law. Oh, hallelujah. Has everybody got it? In other words, my people will perish because of no vision, or they will go astray because of no vision. So the third thing the Lord will do is give you vision. Go to Haggai. And don't, that's not me. No one says Haggai. It's H-A-G-G-A-I. See, I'm, my name's in the Bible, praise God. I hear that all the time, Lord going, hey guy. Yes, Dad. What are you doing now? Hallelujah. Haggai, chapter 2. Praise God. Is everybody there? Is everybody there? Verse 7. Start at 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake the heaven and the earth, the sea and dry land. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple, are you the temple, shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord. So we know that the silver is the Lord's, the gold is the Lord's, right? Now go to John 16. Listen, the devil doesn't want you to prosper because he knows you're going to spread the gospel. The devil doesn't want you to prosper because he knows you're going to help people. Hello? Now the devil goes out and tries to help people. But he brings them in deception. Amen? Look at what's going on in Lebanon. The devil's trying to help people, to move them away from the truth. But it's just a temporary. He helps them, then kills them. And John 16 and verse 12. Is everybody there? It says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare to you. Now, didn't we just say, he just said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. He just said, what's his, is he going to declare to you. And verse 15, read it with me. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Does everybody understand that? See, he said that the vision is for an appointed time. He says it's going to come to pass. But we must be able to hold on to nothing until it becomes something. And when you're down to your nothing, Jesus is up to something. Amen? See, so you and I must get out of the way. We must look at giving to other lives and denying our own. Amen? That's where he says, he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly, he who sows bountifully reaps bountifully. It will be given according to your faith. Wherever your faith is at. Faith is what motivates. It's what moves. God knows your need. He does not move by your need. He does not move by your tears. He moves by your faith. Does anybody understand that? He moves. Because He's not about emotion. Amen. He doesn't move how you feel. He moves how in your faith. How many people did He say, according to your faith, you've been healed? Then He say, what great faith this person has. The Bible says that it's faith that pleases God. The woman with the issue of blood. Now check this out. She grabbed onto nothing until it became something. No one touched the robe of Jesus until she did. When she did, everybody wanted to. You know, when they saw her get healed, well, let's just touch his robe. But nobody grabbed his robe to get healed before. Because she grabbed nothing and it became something. Does everybody understand? These are spiritual laws. Things are birthed from the spirit into the natural. You've been set free from the curse of poverty. And you've been blessed with the blessing of prosperity. You choose this day who you will serve. If you serve the devil, you become cursed. Now, you know, the devil blesses the cursed. Does everybody understand that? Because their self-imposed blessings are not from God. But they don't bless the world. They bless themselves, and they're so afraid of losing what they have. Man, you try to get around wealthy people, boy, they're miserable. Man, they're so busy trying to keep what they have. You know? Especially people who've been brought in and born in poverty, once they get wealthy, they don't give a dime. They're afraid they're going to lose everything. They don't give a dime. But when somebody has been born in poverty and becomes prosperity in Christ, they realize that it's not theirs anyways. It's His. Oh, take these tonight. Please. Let the reality of prosperity be tangible to you. The vision will come to pass. It's appointed time. Amen? Just hold on to that nothing until it becomes something. Complete what He's asked you to do. Amen? Complete it. He's faithful. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. We are honored and blessed, Master. And forgive us for holding on to nothings and letting them go before they became something. And Lord, everything that in our lives that we've made vows to and didn't complete, and things that You've asked us to do and we didn't complete, we ask for Your forgiveness. In every area that we've held covetousness or greediness, when You asked us to help someone and we didn't, Lord, we repent and ask for Your forgiveness. But Lord, bring a reality to us in a mighty way of the prosperity that You have for us, because You said it's Your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. You said, seek the kingdom and all things will be added unto you. You said You will give us the riches, Your riches, all the gold and all the silver that's Yours is ours. You said that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. So Lord, we call it forth from the north, south, east, and west. Lord, I pray everyone that's associated with this ministry that is walking according to Your will be wealthy and prosperous to expand Your kingdom, to preach the gospel, and to help those that are in need. In Jesus' name.